The medical definition of life includes the presence of a measurable heartbeat. For those who support abortion, well, that definition does not apply to a baby in a mother's womb, apparently. This is why a growing number of states have passed heartbeat abortion laws, which have, of course, been legally challenged by those abortion supporters. With us now to take a look at the latest of these heartbeat laws passed in Georgia is the editor of the Catholic News Agency, Ed Condon. Thanks for being here today, sir.
My pleasure.
CatholicNewsAgency.com is the website. Read more on this and other related issues. We, of course, link to that over at our website as well. So the Georgia bill is HB 481. What does it call for, and what has the reaction been?
Well, essentially what it would do is it would ban abortion anytime there is a fetal heartbeat detectable. Now, the reaction to it has been unbelievably vitriolic and angry. I'm actually very surprised by it. Georgia is not the first state to pass such a heartbeat bill. It's currently sitting on the governor's desk. It's part of a handful of states that have been advancing these bills. But in Georgia, the reaction really has been very strong. We started off with a letter signed by, I think, about 50 Hollywood actors and actresses led by Alyssa Milano, who said that if this bill is signed into law by the governor, they will do their best to move TV and film production out of the state. Georgia, of course, is now home to more film and TV production than California, actually, thanks to the tax regime they've set up to attract business. It's definitely turned into a hot-button issue. Now, Stacey Abrams, the failed gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, has called the bill, I think, disgusting or against the basic humanity of women. There doesn't seem to be any dying down of the Ferrari over this one.
As you mentioned, Georgia is just one of the most recent of states has been, I think my count was 11, that have passed.
Sounds about right.
Passed fetal heartbeat laws to one degree or another with the same foundation, nevertheless. But the situation has become that they always get challenged, and the challenges always win. Is there a running theme between those challenges? Why is that working?
Well, what happens is whenever one of these fetal heartbeat bills is actually signed into law, it's immediately challenged by abortion supporters. It goes to the courts. And so far, the findings have always been that they fail to meet the constitutional test, that under the provisions of Roe v. Wade, to ban abortion pre the so-called viability of the unborn child is unconstitutional. So all of these bills, wherever they've been tried before, have failed. They've become known to fail so much that in Tennessee right now, there is a bill currently in the Senate. It's been passed by the state house. That's also a fetal heartbeat bill, and it's stalled there, and they're looking twice at whether or not they want to pass it because they're concerned about the financial cost of having to fight to defend it in court. That's the level of litigation they expect to see.
And there's bishops in Tennessee too, basically saying, you know, we get what you're trying to do, but it's time better spent doing this another way.
Exactly. You've seen a number of states pass alternative versions of the bill that doesn't draw a distinction of when to ban abortion, whether it's 20 weeks or when a fetal heartbeat is detectable. It makes no reference to viability or anything like that. It simply bans abortion outright. Now, what these bills are doing is essentially being passed, signed into law, and then they go into sort of limbo in the hope that they will come into force on the day that Roe v. Wade is either overturned or rolled back sufficiently to give states the power to legislate on abortion again.
I look through some of these heartbeat abortion bills and the laws that get passed and then either get tossed aside or, as you say, put in the bullpen for future days. They're always either they're approached as a law limiting abortion. And I'm just curious, why don't they approach it as, in defense, a law that defines life?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, at the moment, they're all phrased as law limiting abortion because that's the playing field we're on. Thanks to Roe v. Wade and the cases that followed it, abortion is recognized in this country as a constitutional right. Now, it's hard to find a constitutional scholar who's willing to parse the text of Roe v. Wade and say this is a really coherent, sound legal argument, but nevertheless, it is the current constitutional law of the land. So the phrasing of these bills really is aimed that way because that's the fight we're in. Other bills have tried to address issues of personhood and to define a human person with full legal rights as someone from either the moment of conception or at different times. But these bills, they meet with some resistance every now and then. They tend to divide the pro-life or anti-abortion, depending on how you want to call it, cause. Because really when we start saying we're going to legally define personhood, it gets a bit murky because, you know, what the state defines, the state can redefine. And it's a little bit touchy whether or not we want to open the door to the state defining who is a person.
And with Ed Condon, who is the editor of Cathay News Agency, their website, CathayNewsAgency.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Related to note, this makes me think of when a pregnant woman is shot and killed. There becomes this debate now, was that one person killed or two people killed? The Fort Hood massacre, for example, one of the people who were slaughtered in that massacre was a pregnant woman. Then if you did the count, the casualty count, including the unborn baby, the pro-abortion people would get up in arms about that. No, that doesn't count.
Well, it seems that the pro-abortion advocates really are willing to count the child, the unborn child, as a person when it suits their romantic purposes. If you go to Manhattan and you spend any time at the September 11th memorial, you'll see that a number of the victims there are listed as the unborn children of women who were in the towers. But on the other hand, in the same state, pro-abortion legislators led by Governor Cuomo passed perhaps the most unbelievably entrenching abortion bill this country's yet seen, in which they specifically removed any kind of abortion procedure or action from the state's criminal code. So it's now the case where if, for example, a man were to beat a pregnant woman deliberately with the intent of inducing an abortion, he can't be charged with anything other than assault of the woman, that taking the life of the unborn child is no longer a crime, even though it has been recognized as a form of homicide in this country in almost all states since this country began.
And certainly indicative, too, and there's other states, and I think we're in this trend now where the abortion opportunity doors are being forced to be as wide open as possible, to the point where someone made the analogy, I believe, with the New York laws, where theoretically, a woman could ask for an abortion because, well, I just don't feel like I'd be a good mother.
I think there are a few people who would actually dispute that. When you talk about the way the language of the bill is drafted, certainly this was the intention of bills that have been passed or are being mooted in other states, whether it's Virginia, Vermont. And really what we've come to is abortion on demand at all points throughout pregnancy, up to and including labor. We had the scandal over Governor Ralph Northam in Virginia who basically said, yeah, of course a woman should be able to elect to have an abortion while she's in labor, provided she's, you know, got some sort of mental distress, which, as you say, could just be, I don't think I'm going to make a good mother.
Looked at this list, too, from the Americans United for Life. They have their listing of states, order of where life is embraced more than not. And just for your edification, listening, the top five states are Arizona, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Kansas. The bottom five, of course, that's where New Jersey is, as usual. Hawaii, New Jersey, Vermont, California, Washington State made number 50. New York, by the way, is number 43. And I'm thinking, too, Ed, that with who we have as governor here in New Jersey, I don't think we're too far behind where New York is right now as far as abortion is concerned, because he seems to be certainly much more pro-abortion. He's fully embraced Planned Parenthood and reintroduced funding for their work. That's another place where, I guess, babies do count in abortion statistics.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this coming to the fore in every state, whether it's New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Maryland, anywhere in the country, because there's a growing expectation on both sides of the abortion debate that Roe v. Wade is untenable, that it is legally unsound, and it will be revisited. And it will be revisited sometime in the near future, whether the near future is the next few years or within the next decade, but in the near future. And so you're seeing the abortion debate really devolve back down to the states. And so there's both sides of the pendulum here. For every New York that's pushing a radical entrenchment of abortion rights, there's a Tennessee or a Georgia that's going the other way. And I think what's happening in the middle of all of this is people are becoming much more educated about the mechanics of abortion, about what this actually means, what it entails. I think for a long time in this country, abortion's been spoken of in a sort of abstract, philosophical term of a woman's right to choose. But people are now, thanks to increases in science and medicine, being confronted with, well, no, this is what an unborn child actually looks like at, say, 20 weeks of gestation, at the point where you could detect a fetal heartbeat, at the point where a child can feel pain in the womb. This is what they look like at those points, and this is how they're responding to what is their actual deliberate ending of their lives in the womb through abortion. The recent polling has suggested that the argument's being won. A vast majority of Americans, Republican and Democrat, and a majority of self-described pro-choice Americans are completely opposed to late-term abortion. And yet we're seeing politicians on the pro-abortion side of the debate further entrench exactly that, trying to broaden out late-term abortion. There's a real disconnect here between the feeling of the nation and the people who are passing these laws, and that can't continue.
I think, too, the pro-life issue has been magnified as far as how it's being embraced by the surprising success to some. I think a lot more people were not surprised, were hoping for the best result from movies like Gosnell and Unplanned, which far exceeded what they were said to be at the box office.
That's right. Unplanned, I think, doubled its projected box office take. It made $6 million in its opening weekend, and I think made another $3 million the following weekend. And it's having a real-world effect. This isn't just it's not just propaganda. It's not just people who already agree with the pro-life argument who are going to see these films and patting themselves on the back. At Catholic News Agency, we had a story yesterday where a crisis hotline for women who have undertaken a chemical abortion, a self-administered chemical abortion, there's a hotline they can call when they've taken one of the two drugs where they can get advice and be put in contact with people to support them in reversing their own chemical abortion. And they've recorded, I think it was four times the number of normal calls after Unplanned has come out. That people are seeing this movie, seeing the numbers at the end of the film for hotlines like this, support groups like this, and they're responding. This isn't something that's just a question of pro-life people turning out to see a pro-life movie. It's changing hearts and minds.
Abortion is one of those hot-button issues, but it's the hot-button issue that requires engagement because that's the only way that reality is going to come to the surface. Part of that reality comes through the journalism of the Catholic News Agency, their website, CatholicNewsAgency.com. We've been talking with their editor, Ed Condon. Ed, thanks so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.